Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pennywise Podcast, the best pod around for personal finance. We're part of the Lee Enterprises Podcast Network and brought to you in partnership with WalletHub, the best personal finance app in the whole wide world. You can sign up for WalletHub to save money, improve your credit, and budget better. I'm your host, John Kiernan. I'm the managing editor at WalletHub, and I've been covering personal finance for more than 15 years. My goal is to help you manage your money better and hopefully have just a little bit of fun in the process. As always, be sure to let us know if you have any questions or if there's something you want us to cover. We'll put it on the docket, send it our way. Today, we're talking about some under-the-radar ways to build credit. Sure, you probably know that using a credit card or a loan builds credit history, but there are several other options you might not be that familiar with. And if you think you can get by without a credit score, just consider these stats. People with no credit pay around 67% more for car insurance than people with excellent credit on average. Around 50 to 60% of employers check at least some job applicants' credit reports. Less than 1% of mortgages go to people with no credit history. So if you want a house, it's going to be a lot harder. 48% of people say they wouldn't marry someone with a bad credit score. And a lot of people might consider no credit to be in that ballpark if you want to figure out kind of someone to spend your rest of your life with. And people with good or excellent credit can save thousands of dollars on things like mortgages, auto loans, etc., which people with no credit might be locked out of completely or have to spend a lot of money on. And even the best credit cards, which you need good or excellent credit to get, could save you $1,000 or more per year easily. To help you build the best credit score possible and shine a light on some of the less heralded ways to go about it, I'd like to welcome our guest, Dr. Luke Erickson. He's a personal finance extension specialist at the University of Idaho, as well as the past president of the Idaho Financial Literacy Coalition. Thanks for joining us, Luke.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, John.
Of course. I'm sure you have a wealth of information to share with our listeners. To start, can you just tell us a little bit about your work at the university and with the Financial Literacy Coalition?
Sure thing. So I am a native Idahoan. I've lived here for most of my life other than college and a few other things. Mm-hmm. I have worked for University of Idaho for about 20 years now, and it's been a great career. I've worked in personal finance, so I'm a professor of personal finance. I have done quite a bit of work with credit and credit programs. One of the ways, and I hope you don't mind me indulging in this really quick, one of the ways is through game-based learning. So we've actually developed a game called Night of the Living Debt, which is about credit score. It's about credit score building. It's about credit score maintenance and different things like that. So I definitely encourage your listeners to check that out.
Definitely. Where can people access that? Sounds interesting, especially if you're kind of a fan of the zombie genre.
Yes, exactly. So, and I appreciate you giving me a moment to talk about this because I think it's actually a really fun way for people to learn about their credit and how to build it. Mm-hmm. So it's called Night of the Living Debt, and that's the website, nightofthelivingdebt.com. And you can also Google it. It'll be the first result that pops up. But what you'll find there is you can play the game right there from your device on your browser. You can also learn from a few educational videos that we've got on there and a few other resources.
Gotcha. Very interesting. Sounds fun. I think everyone's always looking for a fun way to kind of get the financial literacy information they need, but it's kind of like eating vegetables. Some people maybe put it in a smoothie and it tastes a little better.
I couldn't agree more. It's exactly like eating your vegetables. Everybody knows it's good for you, but it's sometimes hard to sit down and actually do it.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess getting to the topic at hand, people, I think, somewhat have a general sense of how to build credit, but there are a lot of misconceptions out there and a lot of ways to go about it that people may not really realize or recognize the value of. So what would you say are kind of some of the most underrated ways to build credit?
Well, the fundamentals of building credit are actually pretty easy. It just has to do with making sure that you have a low balance, consistent activity, and never missing a payment. And that is pretty much going to be the bulk of your credit score. So then you take a step back and you ask, well, what tools out there help you accomplish those three goals most effectively? And it may surprise some to learn that a credit card is actually the most effective way to cover those three main areas of credit building. Now, I always have to put a caveat here when I'm teaching this to my students in my courses and my classes, is that credit cards obviously can be misused and can cause a great deal of harm and expense and even damage to your credit. But that is just understanding that any tool can be used in a wise way and in a poor way. So if you use credit cards in a wise way, then it can be actually very beneficial to your credit.
Gotcha. So, yeah, a lot of people think of credit cards as kind of evil or dangerous, and there kind of can be arguments to be made in those areas, but the benefits really do outweigh the negatives, especially if you recognize the negatives and take steps to kind of control for them. So I definitely agree with that. Beyond credit cards, are there any kind of ways that people may not realize can help them build credit that they could
Yes,
be
of
taken
course.
advantage
Yeah,
of?
and these ways I would say are a lot more subtle. They're not going to help you quite nearly as much as using a tool like a credit card wisely. But some other things to consider, especially when you're first establishing credit, would be something like getting your first credit card can sometimes be difficult. So finding a way to get that. Oftentimes, a secured credit card will be a way to go. Another, underused strategy, in my opinion, is parents who have good credit can actually add their children as authorized users and allow them to sort of inherit their own good credit. Now, of course, there are pitfalls to this strategy. If the parent makes mistakes, then it goes on their children's credit records, right? But the whole idea here is like a good credit can actually in some ways kind of be inherited if you do that in a wise and strategic manner. And so that's something I don't see very much, but is definitely an option,
For
especially just to
sure.
help youth and young adults get on their feet and credit wise.
Yeah, I mean, my parents did that for me, just on personal note. And
Good.
even when I didn't know it was happening until I started kind of the job that I'm dealing with this stuff, and I'm like, oh, that was a blessing. Thanks for doing that. And part of it is just to make sure you have some money in an emergency situation, and also you have that benefit of building credit. Like, I think my sister started with a credit card for good credit on her own because she had spent so long as an authorized user on our parents' account. So it's possible to build good credit just from that. So I think that's definitely a really good point to make.
Yes, absolutely. There are a few other strategies as well for just not like lesser known strategies for building credit. And we may talk about them a little bit later in the interview, but things like making sure you're getting your rent payments reported, utilities. The other thing that I think is really, really important is just to, when you do have these credit tools, to make sure that you're never missing a payment. And the best way to do that is to automate your payments. And that, of course, assumes that you're keeping your payments affordable. But if you are doing those things and you just put your payments of credit cards or any other installment loans on automatic payment through your bank or credit union, you won't ever really have to worry about missing a payment, which, as we'll talk about, I'm sure later in the interview, missing a payment is a really terrible, terrible thing for your credit.
Yeah, exactly. And in my personal situation, again, like when I was getting my first credit card on my own, someone suggested to me, like, you should definitely set up automatic payments because I tend to be a little bit forgetful in some cases. And that has definitely helped so many times throughout my credit history. Definitely
Right.
kind of there are times where I'm like, oh, shoot, I need to pay it. And then, like, oh, I said I ought to pay it.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Well, and
So.
that's the story of my life. I mean, it's so easy to just forget about a payment. And the unfortunate thing is, missed payments are one of the worst things you can do to your credit. So to automate it is kind of a no-brainer, in my opinion.
Yeah, good, great point. And you touched on them, so I guess I'll kind of turn to that real quick.
Sure.
Why don't people use kind of rent and utility reporting services more? Is it just that people don't recognize that they exist and they can help their credit, or is there something
Yeah.
else going on there?
Well, I think it's mostly an issue of awareness. There are a few other issues though, going on, because it's not quite as straightforward as just, getting a credit account. So, for example, a credit card. For example, if you get a credit card, it's automatically reported to the credit bureaus. There's nothing you can do about it. Even if you don't want it reported, it's still going to be reported. However, when it comes to this rent and utility reporting services, a lot of times you actually have to work with your landlord or utility company to make sure that they're actively reporting those payments. And honestly, for some of them, it amounts to extra work and they really don't want to do it. So there's a little bit of negotiation that has to happen with that strategy. And even the awareness though, that is an opportunity to build credit, I think is something that is still very, very low among most Americans right now.
As you pointed out, I think a very low percentage of landlords actually do report themselves, and trying to get your landlord kind of to sign up for a service on your behalf might be a uphill battle. But there are also a lot of services out there that don't require landlord involvement. For example, WalletHub now has rent and utility reporting, and you'd basically just link your sync your checking account to your WalletHub account, and we can verify the bill payments and report them to TransUnion.
Yeah, and that's a fantastic service, especially for somebody who wants to choose the strategy. Because like I said, it can be very difficult to implement it on your own. So that's really great that WalletHub offers that.
We're excited about it, and hopefully it can help some people, because there are a lot of people out there who don't have a mortgage, or as you mentioned, maybe a little hesitant to get a credit card, and they're sitting there with no credit history, and then they come time they want to buy a house or buy a car, and there's it's difficult. What would you say are kind of we've talked about people maybe not having superb financial literacy or kind of buying into some myths or things like that. What would you say are the biggest misconceptions that people have about building credit and kind of the way to change their thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, there are a lot of myths around credit building. I don't think that it has to be this way, but the system of credit in the United States is complex enough that there are just a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of myths that float around it. So one of them, I'd say, is the biggest one, is this idea that you have to actually carry a balance or spend a lot of money to build credit. And actually, the opposite is the truth. The most effective credit will be built by spending very little on interest and by not carrying a balance on any of your credit accounts. There is some caveat to that. If you really want to focus in on honing in on the highest possible credit score, you do have to have a mix of credit. But when we're talking about just getting to a level of credit where you get the best rates, the best loans, you qualify for everything that you want to qualify for, it really doesn't take that much to be able to do that. And again, what I mean by that is if you take a credit card as an example, you can use it very, very little. We're talking like just like 1 to 5% to show some activity. And I see 5% of the total maximum credit. And so you're using a very low amount of what's actually available to you and then paying it off before the grace period ends. You won't pay any interest. You're hardly putting any money on it in the first place, but you are showing a lot of things. You're showing credit activity, responsible credit behavior. You're showing low balances. You're showing that you're not missing any payments. And that is the kind of stuff that will build your credit. So the myth there is that you have to put in a lot of effort, that you have to spend a lot of money, that you have to spend a lot of time worrying about this kind of thing. And the opposite is actually true. The most effective way is to do it very simply.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, and a lot of people do get confused about that idea of having some using your credit to an extent, but not them kind of interpreting that to be I have to carry balance from month to month and accrue interest. It's as you said, it's about the kind of your statement balance compared to your credit limit, and then you still have time to pay the bill in full and avoid interest charges.
And this goes hand in hand with a few other misconceptions. So, for example, some people think that you need a lot of wealth or you need a lot of income. Like, those things are not factored into credit whatsoever. And so it does not matter your income, it's not doesn't matter what your net worth is, anything like that. Credit is just a matter of reporting your payments, whether or not you're making them on time and that you're keeping them low and using them on a, you know, a few, like a variety of different credit tools.
It's a great point. I mean, I guess I would just say that it matters when you're applying for financial products like loans and credit cards, your income, because they need to make sure that you have enough to pay the bills, but it does not at all go into your credit score. Those are
The actual
different.
credit score. Yes, exactly. I thank you for clarifying that. Yeah,
No,
exactly.
I of course I knew that you knew that and wanted to clarify for the people out there. So that, yeah, those are some definitely some good misconceptions there. I think another one might be sometimes the people think they don't need to build credit. They're maybe thinking, oh, I want to stay debt free, or they're just thinking kind of in very present day terms and not anticipating their future needs. What would you say to people like that who think that's not for me, I don't need to do it?
Well, I always, you know, I love this question, and I always start the answer with this. Like, I did not invent the credit system, and I don't necessarily think it is the way that it should be if it's going to be a full on, you know, judge of somebody's, you know, financial worthiness, so to speak. But that being said, credit scores and credit history are used, they're almost ubiquitous at this point in American society. They're used by so many things, even besides lenders. So I've heard this quite a bit. You know, people say, well, I don't intend to get future loans, or I'm financially self-sufficient, or whatnot. And that's totally fine. And some people choose to try to navigate society without ever building credit. And some people can do that. I would argue that it takes quite a bit of wealth and quite a bit of financial know-how to be able to do that. And I think even then it's going to be very challenging. All that being said, credit and credit history and credit scores are used by insurance companies for insurance rates. They're used by landlords, private schools, elective medical service providers. And one of the biggest ones is that it is used quite a bit by employers. Will factor in your credit history when making hiring or promotion decisions. And this is especially true in the military, government jobs, financial sector jobs. And so if you are ignoring your credit, and I personally have seen this firsthand because I have done quite a bit of work with military personnel, and I have seen it firsthand where promotions and raises are actually very closely tied to a person's credit. And if they have bad credit, they're not able to receive those promotions or security clearance that they're looking for. So if you think about that a you know ignoring your credit, burying your head in the sand and pretending like it's not a factor that you need to pay attention to in modern society, is just accepting that there is a potentially astronomical cost to what you're doing. Because we're not only talking about loans, we're talking about all these other things, insurance rates, but we're also talking about employment itself, like your actual source of income for your household. And when you start factoring all those things in, I would just argue it is actually pretty reckless if you are just ignoring your credit.
And as you said, like it doesn't have to be hard to build credit. You can
Exactly.
open a credit card, put a subscription on it, put auto pay, and you'll build credit. You'll be fine.
And if I may,
Of
yeah, I'll just
course.
take a minute because the reason why people like me have to get up and like explain this type of stuff is because I grew up in a time where credit cards especially, but most credit was very villainized. It was moralized, and it was like, you know, don't do it, that's bad. And you know, you have to take a step out of sometimes what we were taught when we were younger, because while there were good intentions to what we were taught, because there are downsides to credit cards and not using them responsibly. But again, it's one of these things that you start on this path saying, well, credit cards are bad. And then from there, you start making these assumptions. Well, that must mean that the whole credit scoring system is bad because it requires credit cards or some other credit tool in order to get good credit. And you start going down this path, which is not based in facts. It's just based in this sort of like moral villainization that we kind of grew up with. And I'm kind of taking a deep dive on this, but the whole point though is that like, again, I did not invent the credit scoring system, but you cannot ignore it. It is a fundamental part of, you know, American financial infrastructure.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not the type of thing that you can kind of procrastinate on and then cram the night before to
Right.
get that job or promotion or whatever. It takes years to build a solidly good credit score. So
right.
people should keep their options open at the very least.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I guess just from your teachings and your experience working with different people, are there any other kind of issues that we really haven't touched on that you think are important for people worrying about their credit or not worrying enough, anything like that?
You know, I think we hit most of the stuff that I wanted to talk about today, but I just reiterate, you know, a few ideas. And the main one is that, yes, a lot of people get intimidated by the credit scoring system, but like really when you get to the fundamentals of it, it's not complicated. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, get a few credit accounts, use them sparingly, keep your balances low, make your payments on time. I mean, that's it right there. I mean, I've got an entire game that tries to teach you how to build credit, and it boils down to those, you know, just handful of principles, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the point is don't overthink it. I mean, it can get very complex. You can get lost in the weeds like you can on anything, but if you want to build credit, it's actually pretty simple and pretty easy. It's just a matter of start today. Like you nailed it when you said earlier, it's not something you can put off, because the moment you need it is you're already too late.
Yeah.
If you haven't already been thinking ahead of time.
Definitely. And just if you're Don't focus on the negatives. Think about free flights, hotel nights, and things like that. Like, there are a lot of perks that come with building credit the right way. And
right, yeah.
Salivate over that rather than kind of stewing over how it's not fair.
Well, and I love what you're talking about. It's just reframing it as, oh, it's work to do this. It's like, no, you know, if you do it right, yeah, you get a few credit cards on things that you normally would spend money on anyway. Get those extra perks, just get you a little bit of extra motivation to use your credit card in a wise way.
And if you don't like credit card companies, think of it as fighting back against them. Like you're turning the game on its head, getting the rewards, yeah. not giving them interest, you're winning.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with what you just said. Yeah.
All right, perfect. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking to you today. I think our listeners got a lot out of it. They should definitely go check out the game. And we'll definitely have you back on pretty soon. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks a lot, John. I had a lot of fun today.
Okay, I think that's about it for today. It's been a whole lot of fun learning a little bit more about money with all of you. I hope you'll come back and do it again soon, hopefully, because, you know, if you're not penny wise, you might never open your eyes, broaden your horizon, or see your credit score reach the highest of highs. I mean, come on. Thanks again to Lee Enterprises and WalletHub for helping put this all together. And thanks to you for listening. Hopefully this will help a little bit in your life. See you next time.
There's nothing like my American Express Platinum Card. I love that I can earn hotel credits when I travel. I can also earn resi credits, so you know I'm hitting the restaurants everyone's talking about. Plus, with the digital entertainment credit, I'm even more excited to catch my favorite shows. All in all, I can access over $3,500 in annual value with benefits and eligible purchases across travel, entertainment, and more. Learn more at americanexpress.com/explore-platinum. Enrollment requirements, monthly and other limits and terms apply.